Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. All you need is one stick plus 16 ounces of water, and it has 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code SCARY at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code SCARY at liquidiv.com.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com. Hello, I'm Blair Bathory, and this is the Something Scary Podcast. Thank you so much for being here, whether this is your first time or you're one of the brave souls who join us every week. So many of us view our home as a sanctuary, or a haven where we seek peace from the chaos of the outside world. But whether we realize it or not, we are never truly alone. Within a home's comforting walls, lurking in the shadows, lies a realm of the unknown. Hauntings and paranormal occurrences shatter our illusion of safety, reminding us that we are never truly safe. First, The Girl That Haunts, followed by When Your Reflection Talks Back. Finally, in our last story, A Wicked Obsession. Before we get to our stories, I wanted to ask if you would take a minute after you've listened to send the podcast link to someone who also likes scary stories. We know that people love to get personal recommendations from their friends. This is one of the easiest ways you can help Something Scary grow, and it only takes a minute. Thank you so much from me and the Scary Squad. We are incredibly grateful for the support of all of our listeners. So, want to hear something scary? Home is where the haunting is. You must either act on your instinct or live with a gnawing regret until it kills you, like in this story inspired by Helen 2. It was a large, newly built 3-story house in a slightly woodsy area of Vietnam. My grandpa had already bought the house, and now all they needed to do was move in. When my grandparents, along with their 2 daughters, all arrived at the house, my grandma immediately sensed something was wrong. "Something feels off," she whispered to my grandpa. My grandma has always been a lot more intuitive and sensitive to the paranormal than normal people. "Stop being dramatic. All the paperwork has been signed," my grandpa replied. He thought she was just hesitant about moving to a new city, far away from her hometown. She frowned, but entered anyway. After unpacking their things and eating a late dinner, everyone went to bed at around midnight. My grandma was the last to go, since she had to wash and put away the dishes. As soon as she felt herself drifting off to sleep, she heard the sound of a chair scraping across the floor downstairs. She got up slightly annoyed, thinking it was one of her kids staying up way too late. She quietly walked downstairs without turning on the lights to avoid waking anyone. When she got to the dinner table, she could make out a single silhouette of a girl with long hair sitting on a chair that was pulled out from the table to face her. She was sitting oddly still. All the hairs on the back of my grandma's neck stood up, and she hurriedly reached for the light switch without taking her eyes off the girl. As soon as the lights turned on, the girl was gone. My grandma stood there in shock for what seemed like hours before she ran back upstairs. She thought about waking my grandpa up, but decided she hadn't believed her anyways. The next day, my grandpa headed out for work and my grandma left to go buy groceries, leaving my mom and her older sister Tam at home. My mom was taking a nap in a spare room on the second floor while Tam was studying on the third floor, preparing for starting a new school. My mom absolutely cannot sleep without a blanket no matter how hot it is, so of course, she had a light blanket draped over her lower body as she was napping. As she was falling asleep, she could feel the blanket slowly being pulled off of her. Thinking that it was just falling off the bed, she reached down and pulled it up to her chin and tried to fall back asleep. This time, it was pulled faster, down to her feet as she jolted up. She took a quick look around the room, but found no one. Out of fear and naivety, she reached down again and this time pulled the blanket over her head and held onto it tightly. This third time, the blanket was violently pulled off and landed in the left corner of the room. My mom jumped off the bed and ran out of the room, down the stairs and into the yard. She then recalled that Tam was still in the house. She looked up to the third floor balcony of the house. She thought she saw Tam walking on the balcony, wearing a white yo-yai, a long traditional Vietnamese outfit. Weird, she thought. We haven't bought her school uniform yet. Then, the girl paced back and forth in an eerily manner before throwing herself off the balcony. My mom shut her eyes out of fear and waited to hear a thud, but there wasn't. She opened her eyes and searched the floor for any sign of a body. There was nothing. My mom stood there, scared out of her mind until my grandma arrived about 5 minutes later. At the same time this was happening to my mom, Tam was experiencing a nightmare of her own. She was sitting at a table working on math problems. It was so hot she opened the glass balcony doors. All of a sudden, in the corner of her eye, she saw a white figure dashing past the balcony door from the right side to the left. She froze, surprised, but not afraid. She was always known to be the most brave out of the entire family and decided it was just a burglar. Nothing to be afraid of. "Pass by again," she ordered. This time it ran from the left side to the right. It ran so fast that all Tam could see was a white blur. "I dare you to pass again," Tam taunted it. This time she grabbed the fruit knife that was sitting on her desk from cutting the fruits earlier. And this time it stopped in the middle of the balcony and slowly turned to face her. The girl in the white yo-yai was skinny with very long straight black hair. Her face had nothing. No eyes, no nose, no mouth. It was just white. A blank, paper-white face that was oddly large and perfectly round, about three times the size of a regular head. Tam dropped the knife and fainted as my grandma ran in to get her. They were packed and officially moved out on the fourth day of their stay at the house. Every night up until the day they moved out, they were being haunted. The girl would pull the same chair out every night, loudly bang some pots and pans around, open and close doors, or stand very still at the top of the stairs, letting her freakishly long hair reach the bottom floor. It was odd that everyone except my grandpa could see or hear this. My grandpa only believed them when he had asked around the neighborhood and was told about the story of the girl and the house. The girl was only 17 years old when the French soldiers arrived and went after her and her family. It happened when she just arrived home from school. They chased her down to the wooded area in which the house was later built. As she was running out of breath, she saw an old well. She decided that she would rather jump to her death than be taken hostage, or worse. The well in which she jumped was the exact spot that chair was pulled out the first night that my family stayed. Have you ever felt brave enough to confront something terrifying? Was it something supernatural? If so, tell us your story by sending us an email at somethingscary@snarled.com.
I don't know about you, but I was determined to stick to my New Year's resolutions this year. And the biggest one was staying active. And I needed to remain hydrated throughout that process. Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. I personally love it and I really do use it. All you need is one stick plus 16 ounces of water. My favorite flavor is lemon lime, which is classic. You can never go wrong. And it has 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink. So I really do feel so much better when I'm drinking it. And there's 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. Plus it's non-GMO and free from gluten, dairy, and soy. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier, sugar-free in bulk, nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code SCARY at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code SCARY at liquidiv.com.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience. And they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
If you're fascinated by the darker sides of humanity, join us every week on our podcast, Serial Killers, where we go deep into notorious true crime cases. With significant research and careful analysis, we examine the psyche of a killer, their motives and targets, and law enforcement's pursuit to stop their spree. Follow Serial Killers wherever you get your podcasts and get new episodes every Monday.
The shiny sheen of a new house can often hide some rotten secrets. Like in this story inspired by Colin Austed. Chloe and her family had just moved into their new house when her little brother started acting strange. It all started when they were exploring the house, which had an attic so big you could stand up in it. To get to the attic, you had to pull on a long cord and pull down a set of folding stairs. It was here that Chloe and her brother Henry found it. It was a mirror that was wrapped in a heavy tarp and held in place with several large chains and an old-looking padlock. The mirror stood alone in the middle of the attic, like a silent being that kept watch over the old boxes that the previous owners had left behind. "Why do you think they would chain it up like this?" Henry asked Chloe one rainy afternoon when they first found the mirror. Chloe shrugged and said, "Maybe it's haunted, and the owners trapped a scary monster inside the mirror." She put on a scary face and jumped at her brother. Henry jumped away from her and held up his hands. "Don't say things like that. You know I hate scary stuff." Chloe laughed and grabbed a nearby sheet and flung it over her head. She then raised her arms in front of her and ran after her brother, yelling, "Ooh, I'm gonna get you." Henry ran and tripped over his shoelaces as he fell face first into the mirror. Both of them watched, as if in slow motion, as the mirror fell backwards and landed on the dusty floor with a loud crash. Both Chloe and Henry looked at each other and then ran as fast as they could from the attic and back downstairs. When they reached the kitchen, their mom appeared wearing an apron and a frown as she asked, "What was that noise?" "We didn't hear anything," Henry said, looking down at his sneakers. "It must be a storm outside." Their mom narrowed her eyes at them, but didn't say anything. From that point on, Chloe made sure she never went into that attic again. But after a few days, She was alone in her room finishing up writing an assignment for school when she heard footsteps in the hall. She looked at the clock and saw it was 10:30 at night. Curious, she opened her door a crack and peeked out. There, she saw Henry armed with a flashlight and heading down the hall. Maybe he's going to the bathroom, Chloe thought. But instead of turning right to the bathroom, she saw Henry continue down the hall and stop at the entrance to the attic. She watched as he put the flashlight under one arm and slowly pulled down the stairs to the attic. Once they were down, he climbed up the stairs and vanished into the darkness. "What the heck?" Chloe asked as she pulled on her robe and tiptoed out into the hall and stopped at the base of the attic steps. But before she could put one toe on the stairs, she heard Henry speak. "Sorry, I'm late. I had to wait till my parents were asleep." Chloe silently peeked over the rim of the attic entrance and saw Henry sitting in the middle of the attic and staring into the mirror. How he managed to stand the mirror back up, or how he got the heavy chains off, were questions for another day, she thought. It was the fact that Henry was talking to his reflection that really piqued her curiosity. As she watched, Henry took a sheet of paper and drew a smiley face on it. He then held the drawing up to the mirror and waited. To her horror, she watched as Henry's reflection drew its own smiley face and held it up in reply. Henry then wrote a question on another sheet of paper and held it up to the mirror. "Are you hungry?" His reflection wrote its reply and held it up. "Yes." Henry smiled and wrote, "I have some cookies for us to share. Would you like one?" His reflection nodded and held out its hand. Henry then drew a picture of a cookie and showed it to his reflection. His reflection smiled and reached out through the glass and took the drawing. The moment the drawing touched his hand, it turned into a real cookie. Thinking that she had seen enough, Chloe slowly backed down the stairs and into her bedroom where she threw the covers over her head. She never heard Henry come down from the attic even as she fell asleep. The next morning, Chloe arrived at the breakfast table where she saw Henry staring at his cereal bowl and looking tired. As she sat down next to him, she saw that he had dark circles under his eyes and his face was pale. "Are you okay?" she asked. Henry nodded. "Just stayed up late, that's all," he mumbled. Chloe checked to make sure that her mom wasn't within earshot when she asked, "What were you doing talking to that mirror?" Henry glared at her and hissed that it was none of her business. From that point on, Henry started avoiding her and spending more and more time in the attic. Even her parents started to ask why he was looking so tired and acting so strangely. "I'm talking to my friend and he doesn't want me to tell you about him," Henry yelled at their mom and stormed off to his room. That night, Chloe watched as their dad nailed shut the entire entrance of the attic. He thought that would put a stop to this nonsense. He put his tools away, and they all headed to bed. But later that night, Chloe was awakened by the sound of something metal hitting the floor, with her heart hammering in her chest. She peeked out her door and saw that all the nails had been pried loose and that the stairs had been pulled down. A faint light was coming from the attic, and Chloe had a bad feeling as she raced out of her room and up the stairs to the attic. There, she found it empty except for the mirror. In the glass, she saw Henry walking beside his reflection and into the darkness of the mirror. Chloe cried, begging Henry to wait. Her brother didn't turn around, but his reflection did. It gave her a twisted smile and put its arm around Henry's shoulders and disappeared into the mirror. As Chloe sank to her knees in front of the mirror, she looked around her and saw the numerous drawings and messages that Henry had written for his new friend. As she looked up, she saw herself in the mirror and her reflection was holding a sheet of paper in front of her. "Hi, do you want to be my friend? I'm lonely." Has your sibling ever behaved really strangely? Was that normal for them, or did it really freak you out? How did you resolve it? Although the frightening events of the Amityville Horror House happened decades ago, the effects are everlasting, like in this story inspired by Eliza. Eliza's hands trembled as she recounted the chilling events that had plagued her family for decades. It was a story passed down through her family for the past 50 years, whispered to one another in hushed tones behind closed doors, so the children wouldn't hear until they were older. It had been time for Eliza to pass down the truth. She leaned in, her voice barely more than a whisper, drawing her daughter into the shadowy world of Amityville's darkest secrets. The events unfolded on a frigid November night in 1974, when the tranquility of the small Long Island town was shattered by an unfathomable tragedy. The DeFeo family had been brutally murdered in their home at 112 Ocean Avenue by their eldest son, Ronald DeFeo Jr. His claim that voices in the house compelled him to commit the heinous act sent chills down the spines of the townsfolk. The house remained vacant after the gruesome murders, becoming a symbol of terror and evil that loomed over the neighborhood. Janie, Eliza's mother, was a pretty positive, upbeat young woman with unshakable faith and found herself right in the middle of the heart of terror that gripped Amityville. Her family had moved to the neighboring town that same year. Her aunt's home was close to the scene of the heinous crime, just a few houses away. That decision to move closer to the family was a decision that would forever alter the course of their lives. As the next year dawned, Janie found herself drawn toward the darkness that lurked within the walls of the infamous Amityville house, right down the street from her aunt. One night, when Janie was babysitting her little cousin, Lysandra, they went on a walk before dinner. Lysandra was egging her on with reckless abandon, teasing her about obsession with the house as they walked past it. The night air hung heavy as they approached the decrepit building, its windows like vacant eyes staring out at them. Janie's heart thundered in her chest as Lysandra pressed onward, walking right up to the house. Her laughter, a creepy melody against the backdrop of silent dread. Standing before the door of darkness, Janie's resolve wavered, her instincts screaming at her to grab her little cousin and flee. But Lysandra shoved open the door to the house and disappeared inside. And then, in an instant, the world shifted. Lysandra's laughter faltered, her eyes widening in terror as she stared into the abyss. Janie's blood ran cold as she ran in after Lysandra. She quickly saw the transformation. The innocence of youth eclipsed by the shadow of unspeakable horror. In that moment, the air crackled, and there was a physical, tangible force that seemed to seep from the very pores of the house itself. Janie's breath caught in her throat as she whispered the terror etched upon Lysandra's features. Her own fear mirrored in her cousin's eyes. There, before them, stood a grotesque figure of a man in a house they knew to be abandoned. With racing hearts, Janie grabbed Lysandra by the arm and they ran out of the house into the night. But the darkness followed them, haunting their every step. They got back to the house and both pretended like it never happened. They ate dinner and watched a movie, trying to be as normal as possible. Then Janie put Lysandra to bed and fell asleep in the guest bedroom, knowing her aunt would be home later that night. In the dead of night, as Janie ventured to the bathroom, she was confronted by a vision straight from the House of Horrors. The grotesque figure stood before her, her eyes like empty sockets staring into the void. Janie's scream pierced the silence, echoing through the empty halls. Her aunt's alarmed voice rang out in the darkness, a sign of hope. But the horror had only just begun. In Lysandra's room, they found her cowering in the grip of unseen terror, her frail form trembling, and her mother couldn't understand why. The vision that had haunted Janie now tormented Lysandra, its presence strong in the house. With desperation clawing at their hearts, they turned to prayer, seeking some comfort in the words of the divine. In that moment of despair, they found strength and unity, their voices raised against the unseen evil that threatened to consume them. And though the night eventually gave way to dawn, the memory of that terrible ordeal lingered, a scar that refused to heal. For Janny, the sight of that ghastly apparition continued to haunt her dreams, a reminder of the living dead surrounding all of us. As Eliza shared her mother's tale with her own daughter, she hoped it would explain why her grandmother, Janny, was always praying and incessant on things like tradition. Eliza explained that the horrors had never left Janny or Lysandra, and they swore that one day, the monstrous vision would be passed down to the other women in the family. Have you ever been to the real Amityville Horror House? Would you be brave enough to go inside? Or do you prefer to keep your distance and hear the horror stories from someone else? This week's podcast stories were edited by Sarah Lukasiewicz, narration by Blair Bathory, audio edited and mixed by Fitz Harris, additional audio editing by Calvin Linderman, produced by Anna Villalobos, executive produced by Gail Gilman, music by Sapphire Sandalo and Calvin Linderman. If you have a story you'd like to submit, send me an email at somethingscary@snarled.com. Don't forget to watch the video version of Something Scary over at youtube.com/snarled. And if you'd like to support the show and everything we do at Snarled, join our Patreon at patreon.com/snarled. As always, thanks for being here, witches. Until next time, sweet screams. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.